Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam. And welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Today is May 28th, 2020. And we are discussing Sandeha Nivarini. After many weeks of Prema Vahini, we started Sandeha Nivarini and now we are in Chapter 7 of this beautiful volume written by Bhagwan, wherein he as the devotee poses the questions and he as the Lord answers those conundrums. And week after week we have been contemplating on these questions that Bhagwan himself has put down. Bhagwan is the indweller, he is the Hridayasthayi of every person. He knows what is going on in the heart of every soul, and that is how so beautifully Bhagwan has articulated the questions and he has given the answers. In chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini, Bhagwan as the questioner says that he does not have any serious questions, and that's when Bhagwan, as the Lord says, this is the best state to be in, to not have any doubts and not allow doubts to come to you. And then the devotee says, just give me some principles to live by, principles which will make me go near and dear to God. And that is when Bhagwan lists many lovely directions, point by point. Swami gives important tenets which, if we can practice in our life, we would be on the Sai path, we would be on the spiritual path. And in the last few sessions, we have been spending time taking each of these points and trying to understand how we can implement them in our lives. So let's move to segment 4 of chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. In this, you will listen to the points number 31 to 41, what Bhagwan has written. And today we will discuss point number 34. But let's first listen to what Bhagwan has written as the directions that should direct our life on the spiritual path.
Try as far as possible within your means to satisfy the needs of the poor, who are really Daridra Narayana. Share with them whatever food you have and make them happy. 32. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others. Avoid doing such things to others. 33. For the faults and sins committed in ignorance, sincerely repent from your heart and try not to repeat the faults and sins again. Pray to God to bless you with the strength and the courage needed for you to do this. 34. Do not allow anything to come near you which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. 35. Yield not to cowardice. Hold on to Ananda. 36. Do not get welled up when people praise you. Do not feel dejected when people blame you. 37. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. 38. Do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes yourself and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. 39. Even if you cannot or will not do any punya or good deed, do not conceive or carry out any papa or bad deed. This is best. 40. Whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort, pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. 41. Whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking about all and sundry, but utilize it in meditating on God, or it is good to render service to others.
So those are the points number 31 to 41. And as I mentioned before, in the previous session we discussed point number 33. Let's move on to point number 34 now. So here Swami is saying, do not allow anything to come near you which will destroy your eagerness and your enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. So Swami is saying, we should ensure that our eagerness and our enthusiasm for God is protected at all times. And to safeguard that, whatever is needed, we should do. We should not allow anything to happen in our lives which could possibly lead to diminishing or reducing our interest, our eagerness for God. In fact, if you see, all these devotees who earn the grace of God profusely, they ensured that no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the challenges, they saw to it that their enthusiasm, their eagerness, their pining for God has never diminished. They ensured that it never got affected. Even if you look at the people who came to Puttaparthi in the early years, in the 40s, Puttaparthi had no roads. There was no facilities of any kind. In fact, as Mrs. Padma Kasturi, the daughter of Professor Kasturi, recalls, it was a big problem to reach Puttaparthi. If you were coming from Bangalore, you had to travel first 3 to 4 hours by train, and you will reach Penukonda, and from there you have to take a horse carriage to go from the railway station to the bus stand in Penukonda, and then from there you have to travel by bus from Penukonda to Bukkapatnam. Now Bukkapatnam is about 5 kilometers from Puttaparthi. Then from Bukkapatnam you have to take a bullock cart. So after the horse cart, the bullock cart. And it would be very difficult to do these bullock cart journeys because the bullocks have to go through the river and the sands. And it used to be very hot sand because this place is generally a dry and warm place. So whenever the bullocks were to go through the sands, the bullock cart person, the bullock cart rider, he would ask all the people to get off because the bullocks would find it very hard to walk on the sand with the luggage and the weight of the people. So people have to walk on the sands carrying their luggage, and you have to do this on hot sand. Your feet would be going, sinking into the sands. You have to pull your feet out and somehow manage to walk. And it would be such a difficult journey just to come to Puttaparthi in those days. If they start at 9 o'clock in the morning, they will reach Puttaparthi by 6 o'clock in the evening. These days you reach in 3 hours, 4 hours. It used to take twice or three times the amount of time, but train, bus, horse cart, bullock cart, walking, everything you had to go through. But of course, the beautiful thing was when they would reach, Swami would be there waiting to receive them. And once they see Bhagwan, with his warm welcome, all the pains would just melt away. The moment they touch Bhagwan's feet, then all the troubles just get erased. All the difficulties are forgotten in that instant. In fact, if there were any children in the bullock cart, Swami himself would hold and take them out of the cart. And then he would come, he would ask, "What have you brought for me?" And just like, you know, when you go to someone's house and that person will ask sweetly, "So what did you get for me?" That is how Bhagwan used to welcome people. And nobody needed to tell Swami. There was no way you could communicate. We are talking about 40s and 50s. But Swami would always know somebody is coming. As we all know, there is no one who can come to Puttaparthi without his will. So in those days, Swami was physically there welcoming people. But I am mentioning this, all this, because it was the enthusiasm of the people who had discovered Swami at that point in time to ensure that no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the trouble, they kept up their enthusiasm, they kept up their eagerness, they kept up their visits to Puttaparthi. They were so eager to see that they don't miss this chance. Even though it was so Herculean an effort to come, but their enthusiasm never ever faltered. In fact, they say that there was a lot of hostility to Swami also in the villages around Puttaparthi, because the people around, out of jealousy, out of not being able to understand and not being able to stomach what is happening, there are a lot of people who are unable to see that one of their village boys is becoming so popular. And in those days, the people had to come through the village Brahmanapalli. We don't have the road that we have today to go to the railway station, the bypass road, which today has become the main road. Earlier, people had to come to Puttaparthi through the Brahmanapalli village. On one side you had Bukkapatnam, on the other side you had this Brahmanapalli village. And the residents of Brahmanapalli used to place a huge stone in the middle of the road, claiming that it is their deity, it is their god. But actually their real intention was to somehow block traffic to Puttaparthi. They wanted to create problems for anyone who wanted to come to Puttaparthi. In fact, In those days, Swami would also tell these people to remove the stone, but they would not listen to Swami. You know, Swami was in his teens. These people wanted to create problems for God. I mean, they are foolish, small minds. In fact, if anyone tried to remove the boulder, they would attack that person. So it was really a nightmare for people who were coming to somehow pass through that boulder. You cannot touch it somehow, you have to negotiate through that boulder. And when people would reach, Swami would ask, was it very difficult for you coming here? And the devotees, once they see Swami, you know, they would forget everything and they would say, no Swami, you are there, why fear when you are there, Swami? So, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the troubles, they ensured that their zeal for darshan, their passion to be in the proximity of the divine, never got affected. And that is what Swami is saying. Come what may, you should not allow anything which will reduce your passion for God, which will reduce your eagerness to go to God. Of course, here we are talking about people who are to go through these physical trials. But there are all kinds of situations in our life when someone wants to go to satsang or a bhajan, then there will always be somebody who will say, oh, so you have become a saint now, you don't want to come with us for this get together, but you will go and sit there and sing bhajans. So a new saint is born in our town, and here is the saint who is going to emancipate all the people of this hamlet. So let us hail this person. We are all sinners. You are the only saint. So this is how people will always trying to make fun of anyone who is trying to ensure that he does not get pulled into anything that he thinks will not take him closer to God or what will reduce his enthusiasm for God. But there will always be people who will try to create these difficult situations. It has happened for every saint, it has happened for every person. It has happened perhaps for many sevadals, it has happened for so many devotees. You could be one of the team members in your team in office who is devoted to Sai, to Satya Sai, and if you had a picture of Bhagwan on your desk, and you will always find someone who probably will respect, and there will be someone who probably will look at that with suspicion. Someone else will perhaps make a remark which is not polite and rude. So all those things will happen. And Swami is telling, you should never allow anyone to come near you. You should not go and start arguing with people who have very misguided, wrong and absolutely uninformed information about Swami, and they want to discuss about Swami, and they want to say things about his mission or his ashram from whatever they have gathered from some random people somewhere. And discussing with them can be very disgusting and depressing at times. That is why Swami is telling, don't get into any of these discussions wherein people will fill your mind with ideas which are so unholy that will affect your connection with Swami. Only when you're really, really solid inside, then you can go and talk about it. Otherwise, it is better we don't enter into discussion with company that is not in this wavelength. And that is the reason why satsangam is so important. Bhagwan used to always say, it is so important to have good company and the circle of people who will fill you with inspiration, with positivity, with love for God. They will ensure that your interest in God only increases. That is what we should welcome. And any situation, any person, any event which you think is not adding to your connect with God, reducing your love for God, diluting your interest in God, all those things, Swami is saying, have to be avoided. But if you see, there are so many devotees in the early years who went to great lengths, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the troubles, to keep up their love and their devotion and their sacrifices for Swami. In fact, there are so many such beautiful souls. Talking about people around Puttaparthi, during the time when the Second World War was going on, 1939-40-41, in Bukkapatnam, there was a devotee by name Yadalam Venkataramanappa. And suddenly this Venkataramanappa lost sensation in his knees and he was bedridden. He was unable to get up, he was unable to walk. During that period, only three families from Bukkapatnam were devotees of Bhagwan. One was Yadalam Venkataramanam. The second was V.C. Kondappa. And the third, Gumma Gutta Subbarao. So these were the only three people from Bukkapatnam, which is just 5 kilometers from Puttaparthi, the neighboring village, who believed in Bhagwan. And everybody else in that village, they used to tease these people. They used to tease this Yadalam family because they were going to Swami and listening to him. They were adoring this little boy who is now saying he's God. In fact, when he became sick and he was bedridden, people started now ridiculing his love for Bhagwan. He said, see, this is why you are suffering. You allowed that Raju boy, you allowed that Satya to enter your house. That is the reason why you fell sick. Can that Sai Baba cure you now? So this is how people are talking in front of his house when he was sick. Actually, some of them even went to Puttaparthi. And they told Swami, your devotee Venkataramanappa is suffering with leg pain. You have not done anything. You can do so many things now. Why don't you go and cure him? And Swami replied, I know what to do. And I will do it. Swami said, I will walk to Bukkapatnam and cure his disease. And that night, Swami walked. When the family, Yadalam family, was asleep, suddenly they heard a knock on the door. Someone was calling, Narayana, Narayana, in a high-pitched voice. And Venkataramanappa's daughter-in-law, Jankamma, got up, she lit a lamp and she opened the door. And she was so stunned to see Swami was standing there in the middle of the night, all by himself. Swami had walked all the way from Puttaparthi in the dead of night. And he entered the house and he asked for Venkataramanappa. And when he saw this devotee lying down in the next room, Swami went to him, held his hand and he said, why are you lying down like an invalid? So many people in your house are getting troubled because of you. You just get up and walk. Don't worry. And Swami immediately materialized dates for him to eat. Venkataramanappa held those dates in both his hands and he was waiting. Swami said, for whom are you saving the dates? Then Swami took the dates again back from his hand. Swami removed the seeds and he gave them to Venkataramanappa. One by one, and Swami said, eat now. He made him eat the entire lot of dates that he had created. And Swami stayed with Venkataramanappa the whole of the night until the morning. And then Bhagwan once again walked back to Puttaparthi. Venkataramanappa with Bhagwan sitting by his side through the night, by the morning he was perfect. That was a beautiful surprise date with the divine that Venkataramanappa was blessed with. It was his tryst with divinity that cured him of all malady. In fact, after this, many devotees from neighboring towns and cities started coming to Swami, and they used to invite him to come and touch their lives and transform them. So here was the Yadalam family in Bukkapatnam who, no matter what people were saying, even though people were ridiculing, even though people were insulting them, even though people were questioning their faith, they never ever allowed that to disturb their love for Bhagwan. And since that was steady, they also received the steady stream of divine grace. In fact, the Yadalam family of Bukkapatnam, Yadalam Venkataramanappa and Yadalam Nagamma, husband and wife, they were reputed for being one of the first families to recognize the divinity of Bhagwan. And they were the ones who used to regularly provide refreshments and conveyance for travelers to Puttaparthi. People who were coming from the Bukkapatnam side, they were the ones who were providing hospitality. They were helping the people to come to Puttaparthi. Devotees from Puttaparthi used to go all the way to Bukkapatnam to buy groceries from their store. In fact, how the Yadalam family became devotees is also very interesting. When Yadalam Venkataramanappa set out for Puttaparthi to find out who this Baba is, he had decided that he will ask Swami about three things: about his own health, about his business, and about his daughter's family problem. And when he went to Subhama's house, where Bhagwan was staying in those days in the 40s, and he saw the place was crowded with devotees, Venkataramanappa thought that there are so many people here, I think it's very difficult to meet this Baba. And he was standing at the rear end. But to his surprise, within minutes, Swami sent for him. And when Venkataramanappa went to Bhagwan, Swami recounted all the problems that he had in his life, and Swami assured him of his grace and protection. And that is when Venkataramanappa also invited Bhagwan to Bukkapatnam, and he offered Pada Puja, took Swami in a procession. He loved Swami, and that is how his beautiful relationship with Bhagwan began. And in fact, with time, Swami became very playful with this entire family. Swami would proudly wear the garlands made by them. Swami would be there in the house singing songs. He visited very often their house, and he would enter the house, pick up eatables and snacks, and he would distribute to people. Sometimes Swami opened their steel locker, took out the jewelry, he decked himself, and he asked, "How am I looking?" So, such beautiful moments they had with Bhagwan. On one occasion when Bhagwan went to their house, Swami said, "I am very tired, my legs are paining." And so, Nagamma, Yadalam Nagamma, the wife, she told Swami, "Swami, why did you strain yourself so much? Where did you go? Why do you keep walking so much?" And Swami said, "What to do? It is all for my devotees. I have to do all this for my devotees." And immediately Nagamma boiled water, she applied turmeric powder, and there was an oil. a pain relief oil that she got, and she made arrangements for Bhagwan's bath. And after Swami had a good bath and she put that oil and everything, Swami, she did Pada Puja to Swami. Bhagwan on one occasion materialized a pitam, a pedestal, to keep idols. But Swami did not give him any idol. There were only pedestal to keep idols. So the pedestal had three places where you can keep three idols. On the base of the idols were there. Swami just said, I am here in the center. On one side is Parvati, on the other side is Parameshwara, Swami said. But he did not give them the idols, but he gave them the pedestal. Swami said, perhaps Swami wanted them to visualize. Swami said, see, in the center, I am there. On another occasion, Swami materialized a yellow robe worn by Shirdi Sai. And Swami gave it to Yadalam Nagamma. Because they were actually Shirdi Sai devotees for a long time. And Swami actually suggested the Yadalams to open a grocery shop in Puttaparthi. But the Yadalam said, no, Swami, we don't want to do any business in your place. We don't want desires to develop in Puttaparthi. We don't want to have any business dealings with your sacred birthplace. And they said, Swami, we will keep our business away from devotion. We will do our business in Bukkapatnam. That was their love for Swami. And as Swami is saying, you should try to avoid doing anything that will come in the way of your eagerness and your interest for Bhagwan. And Yadalam family thought, it is better we keep business separate. Let's not do business in Puttaparthi. And even as they did their business in Bukkapatnam, they were helping devotees who were trying to come to Puttaparthi. They were all the time there to assist and aid people who were undergoing that difficult journey to reach Puttaparthi. Ensure that they have food, they have water, they have rest. So there are so many such examples if you look at Bhagwan's life. People who have ensured that their eagerness and enthusiasm for God never ever declined. Swami says, lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. Without enthusiasm, Swami says, you lose your strength, you lose your vitality. So it is so important, especially for youngsters. There are always a lot of challenges. I remember the tests and trials that Brother Rameshwar Prushti went through before he became a student in Bhagwan's university. When he was doing his engineering in National Institute of Technology in Rourkela in Odisha, during all these breaks when all the youngsters in the college would have these spring festivals and all kinds of festivals just to have fun and while away that time in pursuits that were not holy, this brother would skip all those events and go and join the Satya Sai organization and do seva there, participate in the activities there, do balvikas there. Because, as Swami is saying, don't engage in anything which will destroy your enthusiasm for God. If you join in the company of all these other youngsters who are into different ways, you will probably think that, you know, I am different, I will not be like them, but I will just hang around with them. But if you just hang around with them, they will affect you. First of all, you are losing time. And second, you cannot not be touched by them. Company is so important. And so this brother would ensure that he is not in this group of youngsters who have no love for God, who have no sacred thoughts in their hearts. So during his entire engineering tenure, he did not while away his time with all those things that youngsters indulge in during those years. Later, feel sorry for the habits that they picked up and which takes long time to again get rid of. Some of the things that we pick up in college stay with us for long. In fact, after completing his NIT, after his engineering, Brother Rameshwar did not take up a job because he was so clear that he wanted to join Puttaparthi, he wanted to become a SAI student, he was a gold medalist. And in fact, they were searching for him during the campus placement, where is this guy? But he did not want to enter into a contract with anyone because he was so clear that he wanted to become a student in Bhagwan's college. But somehow, unfortunately, it did not happen that year because the examinations of NIT were delayed, and in Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, they do not accept students leaving the college to write examinations, and if you have not completed your engineering, you cannot really apply and join here. So he had to wait for 1 year, and so he took up a job just to fill time. So he worked for 6 months and then he quit the job and waited for the chance to write the entrance examination and become a student, and that is what finally happened. He became a student of MFM, which is basically MBA Finance. After his engineering, he joins and does management in finance. And after he finished his MBA, even then, he was among the top rankers in the college. He did not want to go out and look for a job, even though he has been topping in his class all through his student life. He just wanted to be in Puttaparthi and serve Bhagwan. And after he finished his MBA, he just waited and waited for months. And finally, Bhagwan one day gives the opportunity to join the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, and also very soon gives him the opportunity to become his personal servitor. And he had this chance to serve Bhagwan at close quarters for 7 years, even as he was working in the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And after this, after serving Bhagwan, with time, Swami gave him more responsibilities in the Central Trust, and currently he looks after all the engineering works of the ashram as the chief engineer of the Prashanthi Nilayam ashram. How did this happen? Because he never allowed anything to destroy, diminish, affect his eagerness and enthusiasm for God, either during his college days or during his employment days or on the days when he had nothing to do, all the time ensuring that not allowing anything to affect his interest, his deep yearning to serve God, to be with God. And that is what gave him that strength, and that is what gave him such lovely opportunities to become part of his mission. In fact, in Prema Vahini, chapter 22, Swami says, one must dwell on those thoughts that would give enthusiasm and joy, and not waste valuable time building up doubts regarding all things big and small. So we should do only those things which will add enthusiasm and joy. In fact, further, in chapter 30 of Prema Vahini, Swami very beautifully says, the sadhaka should always seek the truthful and joyful. He must never encourage untruth or give scope to thoughts that can lead to sadness or dispiritedness. Depression, doubt and ego are like Rahu and Ketu, the evil planetary influences on a spiritual aspirant. When one is established in devotion, then even if these traits appear, they can be dismissed easily. If they are allowed to enter, they will only disrupt the progress of a sadhaka. So Swami is telling you should not allow depression, doubt and ego to enter. Even if they enter, if you are established in devotion, they will go. But then Swami says, above all, it is best that the sadhaka under all circumstances is joyful, smiling and enthusiastic. Swami says, in fact, this noble attitude is superior to even bhakti and jnana. And this is, I think, a very, very profound statement that Bhagwan has written in Prema Vahini. It's so revelatory. Swami is telling, if you are joyful, if you are smiling and if you are enthusiastic, then this path is even higher than the path of devotion and wisdom, even higher than bhakti and jnana. Swami says, those who have acquired this deserve to reach the goal first. If you are all the time joyful, smiling and enthusiastic, Swami says you deserve to reach the goal first. The quality of joy at all times is the fruit of the merit acquired from many past births, Swami says. It's not easy to have this quality of joy at all times. It is the merit from many past births. On the other hand, Swami says, if a person is ever worried, depressed and doubting, he can never attain bliss, no matter whatever sadhana he may be engaged in. Therefore, the first task of a sadhaka is the cultivation of enthusiasm. Through that enthusiasm, he can derive all kinds of happiness, all kinds of ananda. Never get inflated when you are praised or deflated when you are blamed. Unaffected by both, be a spiritual lion. One must oneself analyze and correct one's faults. This is most important, Swami says. So this chapter 30 in Prema Vahini, why I am alluding this now, is in unequivocal terms, Bhagwan here has said how being enthusiastic at all times is so important. Swami is saying the first task of a spiritual aspirant is the cultivation of enthusiasm. And if you are joyful, if you are smiling, if you are enthusiastic, you are on the highway, you are on the super highway to reach the goal first. And I think this is very, very profound. That no matter what, we should keep up that enthusiasm to do God's work. In fact, again, I'm reminded of Professor Kasturi. You know, when Sanatana Sarthi magazine started, in those days when Puttaparthi did not even have a good road, let alone electricity, transport or a decent post office with this old manual typesetting letter press machine, that in that machine if you work, it would take a skilled person a minimum of 2 days to compose one page of the magazine, because we have to do it manually. We're talking about the 50s. And Professor Kasturi had to post the magazine by the 16th of every month with the help of just one assistant in the first 2 years. And it was an ordeal of Karanguten proportions. It was an ordeal, Herculean task. And he used to really pray Bhagwan at every minute, but he kept up that enthusiasm. In fact, for one whole year, you know, his helper Narsimachari, he had to put together the types and he prepared the pages and he pedaled away to get those 2 pages printed at a time. And many times Professor Kasturi would help him in this work, because one person alone he was not able to do. And even though he was the editor, he had to do the work of a helper. And it was very hard. And Professor Kasturi had come after his retirement. So he was in his, perhaps in his 60s. But he had to do this. But somehow Professor Kasturi says that, you know, you should just sing bhajans and somehow derive that energy and do it. So he would work all through the day and even a few hours in the late into the night. Because with the number of subscribers increasing, money was coming. And he was realizing how important the Sanatan Sarathi is for the people. As the subscribers were only growing, it became even more important for Professor Kasturi to ensure that this work goes on without any break. But the hard work that had to be done was really so taxing for him who was in his advanced age. In fact, for 2 years, he and Narsimhachari went through a very, very difficult ordeal. They wanted to post the Sanatan Sarathis at the newly opened Prashantaniyam post office on the 16th of every month. That was the date. It was fixed. He always felt that people will feel so happy when they find on the wrapper the circular frank mark of the post office of Prashanti Nilayam. In fact, Professor Kasturi himself was the postmaster for 8 months. But for this to do, the magazine had to go to Bangalore because there was no cutting machine in Puttaparthi. There was no way they could trim the edges of the magazine. This one came much later. Puttaparthi had this printing cutting machine. So in those days, all the Sanatan Sarathi copies had to be taken to Bangalore city just for this trimming. So every month, after the printing was over, he would pack all these English and Telugu Sanatan Sarathi magazines into two gigantic boxes, take them to Bukkapattam on a bullock cart, lift them onto the roof of the bus which was going to Penukonda, and would order the bus to stop near the railway crossing about 300 yards away from the Penukonda railway station. And then boxes would be brought down from the bus, and a really hefty porter, a strong man, Narasappa, he would carry these boxes to the platform because he wanted them to be now shipped to Bangalore. So they would wait for the arrival of the passenger train to Bangalore. And once the train left for Bangalore, in Bangalore, once the boxes reach, porters there would load them onto horse-drawn vehicles, which would go to a press that had a cutting machine. The boxes filled with trimmed copies were then taken to the house of a devotee in the heart of the city. And there, Professor Kasturi, along with the help of a few devotees and youngsters who were volunteers, they would sit and put the magazines into the wrappers with the addresses on, which again he would bring back to Puttaparthi. So the next day they had to repeat this whole process: horse vehicle, porters, railway journey, Penukonda railway station, level crossing, Bukkapattam, bullock cart, and finally Puttaparthi, and put the stamp of Puttaparthi post office so that people, when they receive the magazine, they are happy that they have got this prasadam from Puttaparthi. In those days itself, it was going to 3,000 devotees' homes, and they used to receive it with so much of reverence, and they used to thank the postman who brought the magazine and put it they would put it in their altar before reading it. I mean, that is how people regarded Sanatana Sarathi, the ashram, monthly mouthpiece. And Bhagwan had created this masterpiece of an editor who was everything. Editor to porter to helper. Because he had that great enthusiasm for God, in spite of all these troubles, never for a moment he thought that, oh my God, this is too much, I can't do this. How can... I mean, I can't do the job of the editor also, and the trimmer also, and the porter also, and the helper also. But that is what Professor Kasturi was. He never allowed any challenge to come in the way of his enthusiasm for God. And because of that, he received such tremendous grace from the Divine. Take the story of any devotee and you will find this in ample measure. In fact, when the post office opened in Prashant Nilayam, actually once the postmaster general at Hyderabad came up with a proposal to start a post office at Prashant Nilayam, he said, we can do it, it's just that for this we need a pensioner of some local authority or government authority who was willing to be a postmaster. So we need a person who can be appointed as a postmaster. Then we can start a post office in Prashant Nilayam. It's way back in the 50s. And when they looked around in the ashram, Professor Kasturi was the only person qualified, only person who fit into the requirements needed for someone to become a postmaster. And Professor Kasturi said, okay, no problem, I will become the postmaster, even though he was Bhagwan's translator, editor, author. And he was doing so many such important jobs. He was like the secretary of Bhagwan. But he said, okay, fine, I'll be the postmaster also. In fact, at that point in time, when this was asked to Professor Kasturi, Swami was very carefully looking at his reactions, and with a very concealed, mischievous smile, Swami said, Professor Kasturi, postmaster. It's not sounding appropriate, isn't it? Because Professor Kasturi is a former principal, he's the principal of a college. He was actually the station head of All India Radio. Station director. The Swami said, it's not sounding nice, isn't it? Professor Kasturi, postmaster. But look at Professor Kasturi, the smart disciple of the Divine Master. Professor Kasturi said, Swami, I am not any postmaster. It is Professor Kasturi, the postmaster of Prashant Nilayam. That was the enthusiasm of Professor Kasturi. Always enthused to do God's work, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the situation. And Bhagwan, the Supreme Teacher, was so pleased to hear this from his beloved devotee. So this is that enthusiasm. Bhagwan says, no matter what the troubles, no matter what the situation, can we be always in this state of joy, in this state of eagerness to dedicate ourselves to going towards God, to walking on the path that will take us to God. And no matter what troubles come, there are many times when even after our fervent prayers, we find something's are just not working out, and that makes us feel, what's the point? I've been praying for so long and nothing seems to be happening. He's not bothered about me. Why is this happening to me? And then you go and talk to someone and that person will say, you know what? Yeah, it doesn't happen. You know, Swami is not bothered about us. Swami is like this, you know. he will only care about such and such kind of people. He does not think about everyone in the same way. I think, you know, you have wasted your time doing all this. Just forget about all this. You know, just do your stuff. Forget all this praying and all this stuff. So, if you go to such people, they will give you this kind of advices. And at that point in time, you will feel maybe they are right because, you know, nothing is working out. I don't know what is this whole thing about faith, surrender, nothing seems to be working. I've tried everything. And that is, if you allow those thoughts to enter, that is what is dangerous, Swami is telling. That will affect your enthusiasm for God. It will affect your eagerness for God. And this lack of enthusiasm, Swami says, will remove your strength from your being. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man, Swami says. You should not allow any of such things to happen to you. No matter what, should keep that enthusiasm for joy, that zeal for God always very, very brightly burning, like the spiritual lion, Swami says. You should be like that. No matter what, I'm all the time ready when it comes to God. And I'm all the time ready to do things which will take me closer to God. I don't have time for those things which can diminish or dilute my interest in God. And I think this is very, very important for youngsters, so that you know that keep your company proper. Let no one be in your circle who reduces your interest in sacred things. Even if you have to deal with such a person, keep the dealings minimum. Interact more with those who will increase your interest towards the divine, who will strengthen your connect with the divine. Because they are the ones who will add strength to your body, to your mind, to your heart, to your being. So this is what Bhagwan is urging us to do in this point number 34 of chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. Do not allow anything to come near you which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. I know there is so much more we can talk about with sharing many more examples, but I think if we just remember that at no point in time our interest in God should reduce, then we will build our lives and rebuild our lives with this strength. So dear listeners, there are so many more beautiful points in this chapter 7, and we will continue this in the coming episodes of Vahini Satsang. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this beautiful journey of soaking in the message of Bhagwan that he has gifted us through the Vahinis, offering this little endeavor at his lotus feet. I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.